If you've somehow made it to this episode and haven't gotten the push you need to jump into the Points and Miles hobby, this message is for you. Right now, our number one recommended card has the best welcome offer that we have ever seen on it. The card is absolute best to get started in this hobby for just about anyone, and with just the welcome bonus alone, you could easily take one or two free trips and still have some points left over. So go to our website right now, 10xtravel.com, and check out our best cards list to find more details on this offer and get the push you need to start in this hobby today. Hello and welcome to Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce Conway. Today I'm joined by Emily and Matt. We're going to be talking about American Airlines A Advantage program, things you need to know, favorite sweet spots, how to get the most out of those miles. But as always, before we jump right in, I wanted to ask, how you doing today, y'all?
I got to skip this answer because how did you pronounce it? Advantage? I've never heard it.
A Advantage?
Okay. All right.
Is it Advantage? Like,
I just assumed it was the word advantage, and I just pretend the A doesn't exist.
How many A's can you add in front of the word advantage to where it doesn't become advantage anymore?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question.
That's a fun fact.
Advantage.
Advantage. Didn't Hilton used to do that too? Hilton H.
Oh, yeah. H-H. Yep. I don't know how you pronounce Hilton.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think. Someone like forgot to buy the website domain or something, and they're like, call it A Advantage,
yeah,
because someone bought, you know, A Advantage. So maybe that's it. But yeah, I love these naming conventions.
Yeah.
But
besides that, I'm good.
I'm doing good. I have to address something at the moment. Ooh. This gives some insight into when we record these, because I don't know when this is going live. I'm sure somebody else does, but we're right in the middle of the ACC tournament at the moment, and this is like the greatest week of basketball for me historically. So yes, it's 1 o'clock on a Thursday, but I'm missing college basketball to record this. So I just want to let you know.
Okay.
If you see Matt's eyes going back and forth on YouTube, an occasional cheer here and there. Do you have a team, like a dog in the fight?
I'm a Wake Forest fan, so, you know, take that.
So
for
you don't
what
have a
worth.
Team?
I mean, I do, but it's just been a long 15 years, both for football and basketball. Although football's been better as of late, but basketball is better, but still depressing.
Yeah.
Oh well.
That basically irrelevant since Chris Paul, it seems.
Womp, correct. Womp. Correct. But,
as an Ohio State basketball fan, I'm right there with you. Anyway, let's get into the content here. As I mentioned, we're talking about the American Airlines A Advantage program. Things you know, favorite sweet spots. This is a particularly fun one for me because it's one that a lot of folks are familiar with, very popular domestic airline, but it's a pretty tricky one because earning their points is relatively difficult for reasons we're going to talk about here shortly. And we see a lot of folks who kind of shop their, you know, award redemption options, see it's like some of the sweet spots that we're talking about here and are very, very interested in it, which creates that tough dynamic of like, wow, this looks really cool. I want to do more of this, but I can't do more of this because earning their miles is relatively difficult for the average person. But I think we need to cover all those today. Hopefully that clears that up for a lot of folks and tells them how to get as much out of this program as they possibly can. So we're going to do a deep dive into the A Advantage program. We're going to explore its structure, how to earn and redeem Advantage miles, talk about some specific sweet spots to maximize your redemptions, talk about some recent program changes that have come into place, and give you some tips to navigate the entire program effectively. So diving right in, first fun fact of the episode, American Airlines Advantage program was actually the first modern airline loyalty program. And I remember this from writing the course way back when I thought it might be relevant to give people historical context and points and miles. Turns out not particularly important. It's since been removed. But it did launch in 1981. It's still one of the largest and most popular frequent flyer programs out there. They have about 115 million members worldwide, including three of them sitting right here on this podcast. American Airlines is
technically not.
This is true. Yeah, well, we'll save that for
if you know, you know. I guess
if you know, you know. I'm back in. But yeah, shout out to those of you who are aware of what we're talking about. Maybe we'll cover that on some future spill the tea type episode of the history of the points and miles game.
I think the plug has to be come to the meetup to hear the story.
That's true. Yeah, some stories are best left off the internet and not recorded and shared with hundreds of thousands of people. American Airlines is part of the One World Alliance. It includes 13 member airlines across the globe. That means that, you know, everything we're talking about today is the American Airlines Advantage program. We're going to say the words American Airlines all the time. But even if you never fly on American Airlines, there's plenty of uses for these points through their partner redemptions, of which there are some particularly good ones. This program did undergo some significant changes in 2016. They moved to the revenue-based earning for flights. I believe they're actually the first major carrier to do that, if I'm not mistaken. And then again in 2022, with the introduction of the loyalty points as the unified currency for earning status, it kind of opens up status earning even to folks who are not, you know, road warriors flying all the time, but still quite difficult for the average person. And then in 2023, they simplified some redemption options while maintaining their partner award charts.
So there are the simplification of it.
Yeah.
New and exciting changes coming to our program. Always means.
Southwest, take notes. Like, we've simplified our baggage program. You now just, everyone pays, you know? But yeah, I personally am a fan of this program. I think it's pretty straightforward. And like, they've been reasonably fair with a lot of these changes. And there's still quite a bit of value to be had. American Airlines has four membership tiers other than the, you know, you just joined, you're technically a member. You still have that kind of new account smell around your online profile. Four membership tiers to be aware of. They follow the naming convention that drives me crazy. The bottom one is AAdvantage Gold, which you have to get 40,000 loyalty points for. And then it moves up AAdvantage Platinum at 75,000 points, Platinum Pro. Why they stuck with the same metal naming convention here, I don't know. But that one's at 125,000 loyalty points. And then all the way up to Executive Platinum at 200,000 loyalty points. There's some benefits that come with each that are not particularly relevant to a lot of folks who are probably listening to this podcast. But the big thing to know here is that this is going to come in later with a lot of the earning of American Airlines miles. Because they are a revenue-based program, it's based on how much money you spend on your flights, not how long that flight is. And the amount of miles that you earn for dollars spent does go up as you move up that chart of membership tiers. But again, for most people, earning that type of status is not something that you're going to do by accident, or certainly even if you focus on it, you can get there with some spend on your cards and such. It's generally not the most logical or strategic move for most people, but it can be done. But the big thing to know about the membership tiers is it does impact your earning as you're kind of booking those paid flights going forward.
I'm just excited for the comments after this for all the mentions of AAdvantage.
Is that, yeah, okay. Yeah. Someone from AA reach out to me and get here. So how do
you're
you
the only person I've ever heard mention is AAdvantage.
But it's like it's Advantage with an extra A. So like
just ignore the extra A. It's not
AA. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other like company that does it like that. And maybe by the end of the episode, I'm just going to immediately blurt out like, yes, the Dove soap, bubbly, you know, club or something like that. Yeah. So I'll come around to that. But anyway, Matt, can you tell us how to earn AAdvantage miles, like the many options that are available to you?
Absolutely. So obviously, a ton of different ways to earn AAdvantage miles. The most standard and typical one, obviously, is revenue flights. So when you book a flight and pay with cash, you'll earn certain miles per dollar you spend, but that's going to be tied to your elite status level. So the average or basic just AAdvantage member, not AAdvantage, but AAdvantage member will earn 5 miles per dollar spent on their flight, all the way up to Executive Platinum members will earn 11 miles per dollar spent on their flight. And there's kind of a tier of different those 5, 7, 8, 9, and 11 for the different levels in between. So that's one. Obviously, you pay for a flight and you earn some miles based on that spend. Another way to earn miles, AAdvantage miles, is when you're flying on other Oneworld Alliance member airlines, you can actually credit your flights back to American Airlines. So you can put in your AAdvantage number when you're booking a flight and you will earn those AAdvantage miles based on that, especially when you're paying cash. One good resource for that is wheretocredit.com. You can put in your fare class and it can help you see the earning potential, because it's not always straightforward as to what the best way to, or where the best program is to credit these flights. So it's definitely something to look into. But typically, the earnings will vary, obviously, by the partner airline you're flying and the fare class you're flying. And again, that's what's super helpful about where to fly or wheretocredit.com. You almost always earn a percentage of the flight distance, not the entire flight distance, but then also some multiplier based on the fare class you book. For example, on British Airways, you might get 25% of your miles flown when you book the equivalent of their basic economy fare. But if you book full fare business class ticket, you could earn 150% of the miles flown. You're probably not booking full fare business class, because that would be not even the standard advertised business class price, but almost like a hidden one. But that also just kind of shows some of the different variants and range in how you can credit flights to earn those AAdvantage miles. Obviously, something we talk about a ton here. Other way to earn AAdvantage miles is through credit cards. There are no programs that have American Airlines as a transfer partner. So you can't just transfer points in from a flexible currency, which, you know, back to Bryce's point a little bit earlier, is in some ways American Airlines miles are very difficult to earn. In other ways, they're not that difficult. And we'll talk through a few of those not necessarily difficult ways here in a minute. But credit cards, credit card bonuses, everyday spending on credit cards, et cetera, is a very easy way to earn bonus miles or AAdvantage miles. American Airlines is unique in that they actually have co-branded credit cards issued by two banks, Barclays and Citi. Now, the reason for this is kind of a legacy reason for when American Airlines and US Airways merged back in, like, I want to say it was like 2013 or 15, or I don't actually know. I'm probably dating myself, but somebody know, somebody pop in on the comments if you've looked up the date. But for whatever reason, one of the banks was with one of those airlines and one of the banks is with the other airline. And so they, for the longest time, it's been a number of years now, kept the original agreements they had. And the way it works is Barclays handles all of the in-flight credit card offers and Citi has all of the, some other, I guess in airport advertisements or something. I don't remember the logistics of it. But regardless, there's like 15, not really, but there's probably 10 between the two banks, American Airlines cards that you can get across both business and personal. This information is actually kind of timely because earlier this year, American Airlines announced that they're stopping this double bank arrangement. Barclays is getting dropped in January of 2026, and they will only have cards issued by Citi. So for the rest of 2025, if you're interested in AAdvantage miles, right, Bryce?
There we go.
It might be worthwhile looking into some of the cards from Barclays that are going away, because you can get them, and there's no sort of cross-issuing bank exclusions for eligibility. So you could pick up a couple of those cards that this time next year will no longer exist, or no longer be open to new applicants, at least, and earn those miles. So definitely something to look into. Another way that really has expanded over the last couple of years, especially as American has shifted to the loyalty point sort of foundation for earning status, is the shopping, dining, and partner sort of programs that exist. So, you know, American Airlines has the e-shopping portal, similar to Rakuten, or, I mean, just a number of portals that we've talked about numerous times on both this pod and also just in the content that we publish. You're going to be shopping online. You quickly run into a shopping portal like the AAdvantage e-shopping portal, click the link, go to the vendor and complete your purchase, and you will earn essentially a kickback, in this case, in the form of AAdvantage miles. So we've seen tons of really, really good high offers, both miles per dollar as well as a flat amount. You know, you open up a magazine subscription, you get 3,500 loyalty points or AAdvantage miles, essentially. So you've got kind of two different options there. Great way to do it. There's also the American Airlines dining program. Again, you register your credit cards, you eat and pay at participating restaurants with those cards, and you'll earn points per dollar of spend. There's hotel partners, car rental partners, and more. There's another program called Simply Miles, which is like kind of like a shopping portal, but it's not. It's almost like the dining program for the rest of, you know, outside of restaurants. So that's where a lot of times you'll see those flat rate type offers based on completing the purchase. So tons of different options across those for actually earning AAdvantage miles.
This is one of the few programs or airlines that I actually pay attention to these kind of non-credit card sources, simply because it is a little bit more limited to be able to earn their miles, not having a transferable partner. So for folks who normally gloss over this section, I would encourage you pay attention this time, because it's they do add up over time, and sure. There's great ways to redeem them. We'll talk about here soon.
And lastly, as we mentioned earlier, introduced in 2022, the loyalty points is kind of a new currency that I say new, but it's, you know, we're now 3 years in, but in the grand scheme of things, still feels relatively new. This is how American Airlines sort of measures your status level qualifications. So one loyalty point you earn for every mile you fly on American, like the distance flown, as well as eligible partners. You'll also can earn these loyalty points from spending on your co-branded American Airlines credit cards, but as well as shopping portals, the dining programs, the Simply Miles program, etc. So, you know, when you combine that up, it is very, very easy to not go crazy out of your way, but make a few changes or strategic, intentional action, then you can wind up with a ton of loyalty points, which can earn you American Airlines status. So it makes, you know, credit card spending effective way to earn status, because, you know, everything is a loyalty point. But it is worth noting out that not everything counts towards loyalty points, such as like sign up bonuses or buying miles. And there are some sort of nuanced partnerships that do not qualify. But besides that, pretty much everything else qualifies. Now, we'll get into, I'm sure, later what that's done for the overall ecosystem, because anyone can essentially spend their way to status now. But I'm sure we'll get into that later.
So you're saying there's some nuance to the program that has a bank relationship that stops at the boarding gate? Color me surprised. And uses two A's in front of their name? Like, I'd like to recant my earlier comment about this program being like kind of straightforward. Like, I mean, is there like a sign when you walk through the boarding gate, like now leaving city, you know, territory, and then now entering Barclays territory? Like, this is considerably more nuanced than I expected.
Yep.
Yeah, but redeeming them a little bit more straightforward, perhaps, and we're going to ask Emily to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you might be recanting that comment too, but I will do my best.
Fair enough.
So we can start with some examples from just American Airlines, their own operated flights, and the pricing around those. So there used to be an award chart. There is not an award chart anymore. They've moved towards this kind of like dynamic pricing model that's also some kind of weird hybrid where there's still like what we'd call saver level fares, but they're not really called that. It's not published anywhere. So already I'm making it complicated, but there are a few different kind of like tiers that you can expect to see when you're looking at redeeming your American Airlines Advantage miles for an American Airlines flight. They have what used to be called web specials. Those ones are basically just like super sale deals. They can be as low as 5,000 to 6,000 miles for short one-way domestic flights. You can find web specials on international flights that are 16 hours. Like it's just kind of random. And those are a great way to score a deal with American Airlines. There's one nuance to these, which is that you cannot change them. You can't modify your booking. You can only cancel them, unlike the regular American Airlines award flights, which you can usually change for free. So that's one thing to consider. The other kind of like standard level award pricing is where you'll see like a domestic flight start around 12,500 miles one way in economy. Availability can be limited, especially on popular routes and dates for those levels of pricing. And then you get up into what used to be called Anytime Awards. Now it's just their kind of like higher priced awards gives them the opportunity to release more award availability because they can just charge whatever they want for it. So these will be at least like 2 to 3 times more than that standard level pricing. And then you can just see some that are completely off the charts. Like you might find a flight to Australia is 300,000 miles for no reason at all. So there's a lot of kind of chaos happening, but there's a lot of really good deals to be had, especially when you're using your Advantage miles for American Airlines flights.
How about partner awards?
Yeah. So American Airlines still has a published award chart for their partner airlines. So typically you will find that there is the pricing around their partner awards are usually at the old like saver level fares that are no longer published. This can be variable across different partners and routes. But when we're talking about other partners that you can book with by using your Advantage miles, we've got Alaskan Airlines, we've got British Airways, Cathay Pacific, Finnair, Iberia, Japan Airlines, Malaysia Airlines, Qantas, Qatar Airways, Royal Air Maroc, Royal Jordanian, Sri Lankan Airlines, and there's also a non-alliance partner with Etihad. So there's a lot of variety that you can use these points on. There are limitations in the sense that you're not ever going to see a web special on any of those partner airlines. And a lot of times, any kind of status doesn't necessarily guarantee you a complimentary upgrade on any of those partner airlines. There are a couple other ways you can redeem your American Airlines miles. One of them is for an Admirals Club membership. You can redeem 65,000 miles for an individual membership. I think that's a little discounted depending on what level of status you are, but usually this is not the best use of your miles. They're one of the cards that is offered by one of the banks includes a membership for a higher card annual fee. So usually we'd just recommend going that way if you're really itching for access to an Admirals Club.
Plus, unlike Delta, American doesn't allow you to redeem miles for champagne in the lounge. So what's the point?
Womp, womp.
Yes. Womp.
Also, the average, you know, Admirals Club, at least in my experience, is not super desirable. They have
there are a couple nice new ones.
LA and yeah.
The DC one's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. The LA one was pretty nice too. I actually thought it was better than the I went to the Qantas first class lounge. The Admirals Club in LA was better. Nice. There were windows, so that was a big bonus.
Yeah, I feel like usually when I'm in an Admirals Club, it's almost like they had a design competition of who could make this look like the most like 1999 like office boring architecture possible, and they all won.
They all tied for first. Congratulations!
Yeah. They all won.
They do have a new designer though for the brand new ones, like the one at DC at Reagan is awesome. Been in one or two of the other new ones, and then of course they've redone what used to be all the flagship lounges, and now they're called the Chelsea Lounge, you know, whatever.
Oh, I'll really?
Yeah. It's kind of gotten confusing.
Well,
so basically, I'm hearing is that there's hope for Wake Forest that you can be completely irrelevant without change for 15 years and then all of a sudden turn on a dime. So,
yep.
There we go.
Yeah. You're saying there's a chance.
Saying there's a chance. A chance with two capital A's. A chance.
Well, I'm also hearing that we need to be flying American Airlines when we go to DC for the meetup. So we can experience the lounge somehow. I don't know. Anyone have lounge access? Anyone
I do.
I was going to say.
You have American Airlines status?
Yeah, my brother's got the expensive lounge card with lounge access, and you get up to 10 authorized users on it for, gosh, I forget how much. It's like $50, $100. I forget what the fee is for authorized users off the top of my head, but they all get their own Admirals Club lounge access on it. So.
What is the guest policy on those? Asking for a friend.
Well, honestly, the last couple times, I haven't had Ashley's come with me and hasn't even had to scan or anything.
Oh,
I think it comes with free guests. Let me Google and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Before the DC meetup, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we should mention a quick aside. Bunch of meetups happening over the coming months. You can check out 10xtravel.com/events for more details on that. If it is two guests as the policy in this card, please don't count on us to get you into the lounge, because Emily and I will speak for those. But otherwise, we'd love to meet you in person. And Matt will tell his fun story that he alluded to earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Two guests. Okay.
Two guests. Okay.
Boom. Sorry, Travis
isn't here. Yeah.
Yep.
That's
you lose.
Too
you,
bad. Yeah.
You die.
Snooze, you cruise.
Do not thrive.
There you go.
Or no, you cruise, you snooze. I don't know. Either way. Anyway, outside of redeeming your points for a club membership, you can also redeem them for car rentals and hotels. This is typically a pretty poor value. I think it's like less than a cent per mile. So not one of the best ways to do that. You can redeem them for gift cards and other merchandise. And now that I'm reading this, I'm wondering what the merchandise is. Is it like American Airlines swag?
Depends on if you go to like the Barclays shop or the City shop.
Oh, yes.
Totally separate, probably, I'm guessing.
But also, this is a bad way to do that. Less than half a cent per mile. So just, I guess, if you really need your American Airlines swag, just buy it outright. And then lastly, you can donate your miles to different causes through the Advantage program. So obviously, this is not going to be like the most value you can get out of your points, but if you've got orphaned miles in your Advantage account, it can be a meaningful way to clear those out. So those are a lot of the ways that you can redeem them. We will be talking about specific like redemption sweet spots and all that. We've got a few award booking tips here that we want to get into before we start talking about the sweet spots. The booking window is a good one to be aware of. Award seats will typically pop up around 300 to 330 days before departure, depending on who the operating airline is. Usually the partner availability will appear later on in that window. And then as far as searching goes, the American Airlines website is actually like a pretty great tool and user experience for searching for some of these flights. Some of the partners like Etihad, it's a weird one because it's not part of the alliance, so it has to be searched separately, and then you have to call in to book by phone. You can use some of the like availability finding tools like Seats Arrow to help you find the award space, and then give American Airlines a call to help you book that. And then lastly, we've got, actually not lastly, there's two more. We've got change and cancellation policies. So one of the best things about American Airlines Advantage program is that all of your award tickets can be changed or canceled without fees, as long as you make the changes before you depart. I mentioned that exclusion on the web specials, so that's one to keep in mind. But you could decide that you want to book a flight to Tokyo. You're not really sure if you're going to take it or not. And if you decide you can't, you can cancel it with no repercussions. The last one that I've also taken advantage of before is the 5-day hold. So you can, if you see a great deal, you're contemplating Tokyo, you're not sure, you can put it on hold for 5 days. And that can give you time to figure out how you're going to get the miles if you don't have them. That can give you time to just convince your P2 that they want to go on this trip with you.
Find a P2. I mean, 5 days is quite a bit of time. Yeah,
plenty of time. I used it. I put an award on hold and I didn't have enough miles for it. So I used those 5 days to contemplate. I really thought hard about whether I was going to buy the miles or not. And I ended up buying the miles because buying the miles was way cheaper than what the actual cash price of the flight would have been. So just gives you a little breathing room.
That's probably my favorite feature of American Airlines, honestly.
Yeah.
I use it all the time. I've put a ton of stuff on hold that I've never ended up booking. And that feels like the person that's going through the grocery store and just throwing tons of stuff in their cart, you know, when it's like on sale or whatever, and hogging all the stuff, but whatever. Like, I'm sure other people do it too. I don't feel bad about it. I put stuff back that I'm not going to use. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, how many things are in your Amazon cart right now? Over under 50.
But it's literally for the exact reasons you mentioned. And other programs offer this, but you typically have to call. American Airlines, you literally just do it on the checkout page. It's like, do you want to pay with cash, credit card, check, or, oh, do you want to just put this on hold? And you click that. It could not be easier. So it's pretty awesome they let you do that.
It even gives you like a booking confirmation number, right? It looks like a real itinerary.
The actual problem is sometimes, like, for that exact reason, it shows up in your account almost like it's been booked because you have a confirmation number and everything. And I've actually run into issues where it's expired and I just kind of forgot about it because I was doing stuff in my account and I saw it in there and I just forgot that I had not fully completed the checkout and paid with the miles. So you do have to be careful of that.
And this coming from a guy who hasn't been logged into an AA account in, 3 or 4 years, right? So, Yeah. I don't think they have any policies around like how many of those holds you can do, but I do believe I've heard that at some point they'll start canceling them, right? If it looks repetitive.
Correct.
Don't abuse it. Listeners, take this as an opportunity to be like, I'm going to put a hold on this flight every single day for the next year and just figure out when I want to go. Like there are some limitations and I don't believe that you have a choice in which one's canceled. So do know that if you start to abuse it, you might risk like one of those initial holds that you have going. But it's such an incredible tool to have. And it's so almost ironic that like this is the best, I think, hold that I'm aware of in the award kind of booking space. And it's with the only airline that doesn't have transfer partners where like holds are kind of important to have. So yeah,
like why can't ANA have this free holds?
Yeah, right. ANA in Singapore, like we're talking to you. If you have a 2-day transfer time, you need to put a hold on there. Otherwise you have 2 days of chaos.
Yeah.
Pretty user-friendly, I guess is how I describe that. And it is also great that their site is perhaps one of the best, at least in their alliance, for finding availability, even on partners, so easy to use. Let's talk about some sweet spots in the Advantage program. The first one, and one that seemingly everyone wants, is the Qatar Airways Q Suites to the Middle East and beyond. You can book this for as little as 70,000 miles one way in business class. That's arguably one of the best uses of AA miles, giving you access to Qatar's Q Suite product. If you're not familiar with it, you'd probably recognize it in the pictures. It's got like the closable doors. If you book the middle two seats, you can actually combine them by lowering the divider and kind of making a honeymoon suite where it's like kind of one almost queen size bed for two people. Fantastic product. I have actually booked this myself with that number of miles, 3 or 4 years ago, back when Matt still had an AA account. and just a fantastic product overall. So, you know, U.S. to Middle East is 70,000 miles. If you want to go U.S. to Africa, now you're looking at 75,000 miles one way.
Ooh, big spender. 5,000 extra miles.
I was going to say, yeah, you still go through Doha, but yeah, the pricing on this has always kind of confused me that it's only an extra 5,000 miles, even though that second flight might be nearly like as long as the first one.
Yeah.
Yep. So only 75,000 miles for that one. So you can continue destinations into Africa. In my case, we went to Cape Town with that one. You know, Qatar does serve a number of African destinations, including Cape Town, Johannesburg, Nairobi, and more. Or U.S. to the Indian subcontinent, 70,000 miles one way in business class. Also an excellent value, giving you access to destinations like India, Maldives, Sri Lanka, all while enjoying Qatar's premium service. Now, there is kind of one new nuance to this, and that is that those awards at that price are typically made available, what is it, like 5 or 10 days after they open them to like book with Avios, which is also much easier for the average person to do. So finding award availability for this particular sweet spot is not quite as easy as it once was, but it's also still not impossible. And the fact that they have those holds means that every time I'm shopping for this product now, like if I see any availability, I grab hold. And like, let's figure out the dates later because it's, you know, it's that good and it's that kind of rare. But that's arguably the best sweet spot, I'd say, for AA miles. But Matt has one that might challenge it here next, causing me to recant my third statement of the day. So Matt, why don't you tell us about the next one?
Yeah, well, American Airlines miles, or Advantage miles, I should say, are another good option for getting to Japan on One World Alliance partner Japan Airlines. 60,000 miles one way in business class or 80,000 miles one way in first class. And JAL, as it's commonly referred to, offers a terrific premium cabin experience with relatively good availability, especially if you're booking way in advance, 10 or 11 months in advance, or honestly, last minute. It's not uncommon to see JAL first class open up within the last 2 weeks before travel date. So if you can be super flexible, you can fly in style for, you know, whatever, 13, 14 hours. I forget how long the flight is, depending on where you're going from, but in a terrific product for not a ton of miles, honestly. So that could be a terrific option. And of course, pretty much whatever Japanese carrier you do fly, they are very known for exceptional service and cuisine on the plane, especially when you're in a premium cabin. So definitely something to look into. I'm hoping to do this in the not too distant future myself. So we'll see. But similar, you know, this is pretty typical, it seems like, for the program. But if you continue on, you know, from to Asia, which is, you know, I don't know if we mentioned or not, but American does define the world essentially by region. So if they consider Asia region 2, which would be considering Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, et cetera, 70,000 miles one way in business class or 90,000 miles in first class. So just 10,000 extra miles to carry on for potentially another 5, 6, 7 hour flight, which is kind of mind blowing. So
they don't allow stopovers, is that right? I don't think so. I think, I mean, this is something they would only allow stopovers like in what they called a gateway city or something where it's like, you can stop over in like LA. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather not. I'd rather stop over in Tokyo. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't.
I like how and I both were like, hey, you answer. No, you answer.
No, I was sitting there like
I'll just answer my own question. It's perfect.
Like, because not only was it no response and not that I expect one, but you also both froze on YouTube. So I'm just like,
my internet was buffering. Yeah. I knew the answer the whole time.
Hey, man, if you weren't streaming Wake Forest, it'd be a little faster, right?
The game doesn't start for another 45 minutes, so we're good.
It'll be over in 52 minutes.
That's why Matt's talking so fast today.
Yeah, come on, let's wrap this up. Let's go.
Yeah. So thank you, Matt. Next up, Emily, Australia. And this is one that you actually have experience with, so tell us about
it. Yeah, I don't want to say this with 100% confidence, but I'm pretty sure this might be one of the cheapest ways to get to Australia from the U.S. You can fly in first class on American Airlines Metal from L.A. to Sydney for 70,000 points. And then if you want to downgrade yourself just a little bit, you can fly in business class for 60,000 points. I flew back from Sydney to L.A., but either way works. This was something that I wasn't searching for. This is not something that I was like looking every day on the calendar. So I can't really speak to like when the availability opens up, but
it's pretty tough to snag.
This
route, what basically the West Coast of the US to the East Coast of Australia in a premium cabin is very, very difficult to find sabre speeds for.
Yeah. So that's why the holds, that's where the holds come in. because I think
the
I've
holds are the reason why it's so hard to find the space. Could be. Maybe. Should we not like the holds?
Maybe.
How about holds for me and not for thee?
Yeah.
No?
But yeah, the holds came into play because I was on my honeymoon looking at this availability and I was like, hold. And then, you know, over breakfast, tell my new husband that, by the way, we're going to Australia.
Nice.
Love it.
So that's been one of my favorite ones that I've actually gotten to experience. But I can talk about Etihad is another one too. It's one of the unique ones because it's not in the One World Alliance, but it is a partner airline of American Airlines. So you can fly, again, for 70,000 miles one way in business class to the Middle East from the U.S. Or 115,000 miles in first class. This is another like super premium cabin and product. So their first class apartments, I don't think, are available on the U.S. routes anymore. But those ones were some pretty sought after award availability at the time. We've also got flying Etihad to the Indian subcontinent for another 70,000 miles one way in business, 115,000 miles in first class, same pricing there. So great for going to destinations like India or the Maldives. And then this one we've mentioned, but these flights don't show up on the American Airlines website. So you got to find them through other means of searching, and then you have to call American Airlines to book it over the phone. So a little bit of a clunky process, but if you can find it, it's a great way to
find it. I feel like sometimes Etihad does it. It seems to like come and go. Like they'll show up for randomly for like a couple weeks and then not for 8 months.
Yeah. Better to just look elsewhere for it. Yeah, probably.
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like most of the time I see people making a redemption with like AA miles for Etihad Premium Cabin. It's it doesn't touch the United States.
Yeah.
It'll be like, I want to experience first class, but I'm going to go from like Australia to Singapore or something, or Tokyo to Mumbai, or I guess I don't think that route in particular. But so we do see some folks, like if your primary goal is just like best in-flight experience, like, oh, I would have never been able to try this, period. Don't limit yourself just to routes that, you know, origin or destination in the United States. You can actually find some abroad as well to experience that would have a little bit more open availability. All right, next up, we have perhaps the most popular one that we see among our readers, and that is short-haul economy sweet spots. So flights under 7,500 miles within North America, you can find one way in economy. Excellent value for short but expensive routes, particularly like smaller airports or during peak times. We tend to see this more with like families redeeming points of miles, people going kind of skiing out toward Emily's neck of the woods. You want to fly to a place like Vail or somewhere that would normally have a high or difficult place to get. You can occasionally find those for really cheap on AA. And, you know, sometimes even web specials as low as 5,000 miles one way for short domestic flights, though the pricing is dynamic and varies wildly. And you do see, of course, this would be kind of a counter to demand. You know, don't count on being able to fly to March Madness using this or any super popular destination. But if you're just looking for a quick weekend getaway, have some AA miles to burn, that is a fantastic thing to look at for anyone who likes to travel and use points and miles. Any of you out there?
There might be.
And next one, almost just as popular, Caribbean and Mexico. Matt, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah,
you AMI. A lot of experience there.
Yeah, I do actually, yes. Yeah, AA miles can shine here. Similar to what Bryce was mentioning before, you know, destinations throughout the Caribbean, AA actually is probably, I think it's probably got the best service routes or like amount of service to the Caribbean of any of the major airlines in the U.S., well more than Delta, United, you know, JetBlue, Southwest, all those. AA flies to tons of these other islands that I have only seen that they fly to, not some of the other ones. So they have great coverage there. You can find flights as low as 15,000 miles one way in economy. Again, like Bryce was saying, like, it's not guaranteed, especially during times of high demand. That probably won't be available thanks to their dynamic award chart, but it is possible. And then similar to Mexico, again, 15,000 miles or 25,000 miles in business class one way is kind of the bottom. There are certain times of the year, especially with economy awards, where flights can drop to 12,500 miles. This would be considered off-peak economy awards. So, you know, the flip side is you might find that same flight for 78,000 miles one way if you're trying to fly on like the Saturday before Christmas or something. So don't you know, hear that as gospel that every flight is going to be 15,000 miles one way, but that's kind of what it could be. You just have to be a little bit flexible with your search criteria.
And I guess it might also help if you live, you know, close to Charlotte or another hub like that. Where,
Well, you yes and no. They do play games with both married segment pricing and then just hub departure pricing, where I can find a flight from Greensboro to Charlotte to Turks and Caicos for 15,000 A miles. But if I wanted to drive to Charlotte and pick up the flight there and only, you know, only have a nonstop from Charlotte to Turks and Caicos, it might be like 60,000 miles. So, I mean, that absolutely happens with, I think, predominantly American Airlines more than some of the other major U.S. carriers. So that is a thing, and you should be aware of that, especially if you're trying to depart a hub.
It's the opposite repositioning. It's like reposition to, you know.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah, very much so.
Interesting.
Yep.
Gotcha. Next up, American Airlines flagship first transcontinental.
Yeah.
Emily, can you tell us about that one?
Yeah. So most of the time when you're flying on any carrier within the U.S. on a domestic flight, if you book first class, it's just going to be like a regular, just slightly larger seat. But with American Airlines, they've got one of their aircrafts that flies between JFK and LA and San Francisco has like a true first class lie down experience. So that's something that, you know, people who are flying across the country, it's a nice bonus. It's a long flight.
I've flown this.
Yeah. How was your experience?
It was good. It was good.
Nice. As far as the pricing goes on these, it's pretty dynamic. Sometimes you can find them for 50,000, 55,000 miles one way, which can be a pretty decent value for that long of a transcontinental flight, especially because you get access to the flagship first dining, which is a nice perk. One thing that some people like to do, especially because you can cancel and change flights for free, especially if there's been a schedule change, is like book one of these that, you know, maybe it's not exactly at the time that you want to travel. Hope the schedule changes. Maybe you can switch to the first class experience. So keep an eye out for that one. So I can speak to comparing like business class and first class from an international perspective. I have not done this transcontinental flight, so I don't know what the difference is there, but maybe you've seen
it's
it.
Same, right?
Yeah, honestly, the American does it on the A321s T, which they have kind of a special config where it's got the first, business, and premium economy and regular economy. So it's essentially four cabins of service. What they sell as first class is the regular business class seat. So it's the A321 is a single aisle airplane. So you walk in and there's one seat on each side in first class. But then when you get to the business class cabin, there are two seats. I believe it's two and two. I didn't make it that back to the far of the plane. I don't actually remember. I'm not actually sure, but I'm pretty sure it's 2-2. And it's still lay flat, but it's a much more sort of compact seat. They have been talking about phasing this out, and they may actually have already announced it. I'm drawing a blank on that at the moment. But it's kind of fun. I mean, honestly, the biggest reason to do it is to get access to the lounges in either New York or Boston or LA or San Francisco. And then they do sometimes run it from San Francisco to LA to Miami, but I don't think that's a full-time one. But yeah, I mean, it's a great experience, a very elevated lounge access, food, restaurant type setup, et cetera. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Those are daytime flights generally, right?
Typically, yeah. I mean, it's geared towards business. Although we did, the one we took was JFK to LA, and we left at like 5 or 6 p.m. and we actually left later because we didn't get to LA until like 8 or 9 p.m. Like it was pretty late. Okay. We were on one of the later ones of the day. And then we left coming home, same route, or San Francisco to JFK. And we were on an earlier flight, like 7 or 8 a.m. So I'm pretty sure they run like 5 or 6 of them a day each direction. I mean, that's a pretty popular corridor for travel. So.
Yeah, it's almost like the worst jet lag trap ever. It's like you're flying west, you're landing at a time where you'd normally go to bed, but maybe you slept the whole way there. So now what are you going to do? You know, like I always laugh when I see that route. I'm like, how do I approach this?
Yeah. Well, we got to get Travis as the jet lag strategy extraordinaire. He's always got a, I'm sleeping at this time and I'm awake at this time and no more caffeine at this time.
We talked about that on an earlier episode and I still remember like the look on his face when, I think, was it you, Emily? We were both on it. We're like, he's like, what do you guys do for jet lag? We're like,
nothing.
Run head first into it.
Yeah, I sleep when I'm tired. Like, I, you know, yeah. No strategy whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then last one here on our list, off-peak economy awards to Europe. But this is something that, Matt, you have some recent experience with. Maybe not the off-peak part, but to Europe.
Well, the off-peak part, but not the economy part. But we'll gloss over that part.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, honestly, like 22,500 miles one way in economy during the off-peak dates. These are typically winter months. So there's a couple pockets, but typically early November through March with a little bit of an intermission for the Christmas holidays. You can regularly find award availability on American Airlines to Europe for like 22,500 miles each way. So that's what, 45,000 miles round trip. Great deal. Honestly, Europe in economy is very tolerable. 6-7 hours from the East Coast. Like that's almost just slightly longer than going from the East Coast to the West Coast. So, you know, I've done it. I have no qualms about it. Great use for miles.
Yeah, this one feels like that's part of the program that's left over from the U.S. Airways days, because they used to be really big into those off-peak ones. And I was a huge fan of that 10-plus years ago when Wake Forest was relevant and Matt still had an account. So, yeah, that's really, I would almost venture to say, after kind of hearing all this and from my experience, AA's program doesn't have any major weak spots where it's like, yeah, like it's a great program unless you want to go to X place.
I will counter that by saying they get crazy with some of the dynamic nature. So like these all, you know, off peak, like 22,500 miles to Europe sounds terrific. But like go look at a calendar and you might see like 4 dates available in the month of January and the rest are like 60,000 one way. So that would, to me, would be the weak spot, is they really put the gas down on the dynamic spot, the dynamic pricing part of stuff.
Good point. Yeah, I guess I would revise to say potentially no weak spots, but they definitely don't make it as easy as most would hope.
Great. They find ways.
Yeah, you're right. And there are a few other things, I guess we could call them weak spots, tips, things to avoid when booking with American Airlines Advantage. The first and the most common one people run into is the British Airways fuel surcharges.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talk about kind of finding flights to Europe on AA. It's not all that far. Economy's tolerable. But if at any point you touch London, suddenly your tax and fees are going to be in the high hundreds of dollars, even for like economy flights. So it'll be, you know, 80,000 miles plus $1,200. And it's like, wait, what? Like the flight is usually about $1,200 and I have to pay miles on top of that too.
I always feel like these ones are such a trap, because you see like sometimes they're pretty low points prices through AA. So like you'll be like, oh wow, I can fly to like London for 20,000 points. And then you like scan your eyes over a little to the right and you're like plus $700, and you're like, wait, no.
And the economy cash ticket is $400.
Right.
So it's like.
Right. Yeah. And as per our last episode, you can probably fly Virgin there for like 12 points. You know, it's like, I always get into that situation, Emily, where it's like, I'm looking at the calendar view of the AA. It's like, oh wow, there's all this great availability every single day. But then if you like open the options and filter out British Airways, it's just like boom, down to one day.
Right. All goes, no, so. For sure. Well, and the biggest thing to avoid that is just by all means, one, it's British Airways, but two, it's departing London. You know, trying to avoid those surcharges. You'll have it flying British Airways to London, even with American Airlines miles, but you avoid most of the taxes and fees there if you avoid leaving London, because that's where they'll get you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There are some other partners with high surcharges. Partners like Royal Jordanian pass along significant surcharges. It's kind of same advice there. Just don't get caught up just in the miles price that you see on the calendar. Go all the way through and make sure to check those taxes and fees, because sometimes it can be surprisingly high. For traveling to Europe, consider Iberia, especially if you're going through Madrid, Finnair, or try to find Americans' own flights, as we mentioned, of which there's not a small amount of them, but certainly less than when you have British Airways in the mix. And then for Asia, like Japan Airlines and Cathay Pacific typically have pretty reasonable surcharges. So really the British Airways one is the big one that you want to watch out for when booking with these miles. Sometimes you do have to actually book by calling on the phone. And there's a few tips to be aware of there that Emily's going to take us through.
Yeah. We've mentioned a few times now that the partner airlines like Etihad, sometimes you have to book those by phone. So you'll have to like find the availability through either another like aggregator tool or Etihad's own website, and then ring up American Airlines and ask them to help you book it. So a couple things to just be cautious of. They may try to charge you a phone booking fee, but this is waived on any awards that you can't just book online. So make sure to mention that, and that should, you know, not be charged to you. And then if you end up talking to an agent who can't seem to find the availability, but you know that it exists, you checked multiple websites and it's not phantom availability, just try calling again. Like, knowledge and experience varies depending on who you get on the phone with the agent. So just be polite, and, you know, eventually you can end up talking to someone who will help you get it booked.
Very good. I feel like I want to layer on one additional component here. I'm talking to the family travelers who often tell us, like, we want more advice for family. As a parent, as my favorite thing to say. As a points and miles family traveler, I will tell you that American Airlines, to me, feels like it's kind of a known weakness for that use case because of the inability to transfer in points from other programs. It really makes it hard to earn American Airlines miles for other people who are traveling with you who can't earn miles on their own, like children, because you'll have the card bonuses that'll be, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 miles, like most of these international flights we're talking about are, you know, about that round trip. But because there's only a select number of cards you can get to earn the American miles, and you can't top off from other programs, and actually many of those cards have pretty restrictive ability to repeat those bonuses, what you end up with is a situation where any one individual person who can open cards can earn enough miles for a trip. But if you have, like, you know, one or two people who are earning for a family of four or five, it becomes much harder to earn enough miles to book for the entire family. So you end up seeing all these amazing international sweet spots and opportunities, and it's like, oh, I have enough to book two or three of those, but that's not going to work for my family of five. And that is just kind of something we see quite a bit with our readers, and I've seen myself over the years of doing this.
Well, in that case, you could consider doing what I did, which is buying the miles, which sounds insane, but I literally bought 60,000 American Airlines miles.
Do you remember how much it cost you?
I want to say it was like $1,600. And that sounds like a lot of money to spend on the points, but I had enough American Airlines miles for 1.5 round trips. And so I had already had all of those booked, and the cash price of adding one more to get myself home was like, I don't know, $8,000. So I was like, okay, if I just spend...
You saved money.
Yeah. I saved money. If I spend $1,600 to get the points for this flight I already put on hold for 60,000 points, then that seems... I think I just actually saved $7,000.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's how that works. So, yep, I mean, not ideal, but works in a pinch.
Thank goodness for the hold there, though. Can you imagine that terrifying, like, 2 or 3 minutes where, like, you found it, you're going to buy the miles, you're checking out, you just spent, like, a couple $1,000s on AA miles, and then, poof, it's gone.
Nope.
That would be awful.
That would be terrible.
All right, let's wrap this one up. You know, American Airlines Advantage remains one of the most valuable loyalty programs for international premium cabin redemptions through partners like Qatar Airways, Japan Airlines, Cathay Pacific, but also just on American Airlines flights themselves. The program's retention of partner award charts provides predictability in a landscape where competitors have moved to fully dynamic pricing. For domestic travelers, web specials can offer great value, though the dynamic nature requires some flexibility and quick action when good deals appear, although you could say that about the entire points and miles hobby, in all fairness. Their status in the introduction of loyalty points has made elite status a little bit more accessible for those of us who, you know, want to do so through spend or other non-flying opportunities. And if this is all still somewhat kind of new to you, or you're still a little bit lost in some of the jargon, we do have a ton of incredible resources to help you make the most out of your Advantage Miles. I said it right. Out of your Advantage Miles and every other program. Check out 10xtravel.com for more program guides, transfer partner sheets, and more, as well as other episodes of this podcast where we do similar deep dives on other programs. You want to join our Facebook group. We're now over 380,000 people come together in the largest online points and miles Facebook group on the planet, sharing knowledge, asking questions, having fun. It's a great place to kind of hang out. And last but not least, be sure to sign up for My10X. That's our free web tool, which includes our comprehensive online course. It allows you to manage all of your cards, points, and miles in one single place. Again, did I mention that is free? Kind of like the A Advantage holds. You should check it out today.
You did it again.
My10xtravel.com. Yeah. Now I want to change the name.
Good job, B-Bryce.
Yeah. Good thing no one on this podcast is named Aaron, because they would be getting the A-Ron treatment this entire episode. But anyway, for Matt and Emily, I'm Bryce. Thanks for listening to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. And we'll catch you next time. Bye now.